June the 2nd, 2021, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is the Ramadan session, topic man and the universe as mates, created for each other, its timeless relevancy, lecturer, Imam W. Dean Muhammad. So we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The most beautiful nation is in the wilderness of North America. I just want to say to you all, in the words of Mr. Farad, I can sit on top of the world and tell anyone that the most beautiful nation is in the wilderness of North America. And believe me, that is not exaggerating a bit. I've shared this with you all on many occasions when I was a young minister on Greenwood. That is where the temple was in Chicago. One day, I think it was at night, when I gave this address at the temple, I said, we need to see ourselves as a new people on this planet Earth. I said, yes, there are Africans, but they are no new people. They are in Africa, but we are not Africans anymore. We have been completely separated from that lifeline, so we are not Africans anymore. Now, if we are completely separated from our lifeline with Africa, then we are a new people. And if we are not comfortable with our existence as a people in this new circumstances on these western shores in America, then that tells me as a people, spirit-wise, custom, etc., we are not yet formed as we want to be formed. So actually, we are a new people forming or trying to be formed in the United States of America. I think that will be true of the island also. Whenever we are existing, I went down to South America, and there are many of us in South America in Brazil. And the way they ran and greeted us when I was down there, do you know what they said? It was years ago when Muhammad Ali was still floating like a butterfly and stinging like a bee. They saw us. They knew we were from the United States. They came in a crowd. It looked like over 1,000 youngsters or more. They started running towards us saying, Ali Bumbaye, Ali Bumbaye. We could see that they were so happy to see us, our people. Now, what is it that caused them to gravitate towards us like that? Is that they have the same genes or the same ancestral life that we have? Not necessarily. In fact, I do not. That is what brought them to us in that spirit. So what brought them to us in that spirit is that we are a people of the same experience, environment, and what you experience, that is what shapes your spirit. It leaves impressions on your spirit. It forms your spirit. It forms your spirit in you all over again. When you are subjected to a different environment and a different experience over a period of generations, so this is what formed the people. So we are a people of one spirit. The spirit determines your life. We are a people of the one spirit. Their spirit is that we are put down by the world. Their spirit is that the world doesn't think that we are of the same human value that they are of, that our human value is less than theirs. That is their spirit. And we are social rejects. That is what we were. And they were social rejects, and we were brought here to be slaves. They were brought there to be servants, indentural servants or slaves, the same. And they looked at the faces and said, they are not one of us. You all stay to yourselves. The same thing was in South America that was here. And I don't care how much freedom we have been given and how good things look on the whole, most white people still have that same spirit when it comes to us. Don't fear the criticism of the criticizer. They accept you, right? Your rights. But please stay to yourself. And that's exactly what we should do. More so at this time than any other time in our history of thousands of years in Africa and America. Now is the time for us to stay to ourselves and build a model society and answer God's invitation that he extends to the Islamic world. Let there come out of you a community upholding the best of what I have revealed and given to you in Muhammad. Being afraid of the criticism of any criticizer, that is Quran, you will be the one that will be successful. Well, I say the covenant has lost its bearer, and we are picking it up. We are going to carry the covenant. Yes, we are going to carry the covenant of God here in America, and we are going to establish a people and a community inside of this United States of America that will be a witness, that will be a testimony before all the nations of the world that a marvelous thing has been done by God here in the United States of America. And I'm telling you that our model will have more power to convert the world to Islam than anything they ever had going for them other than Prophet Muhammad himself and the best of his followers at that time. So don't doubt. You don't have enough insight. You don't have enough scholarly knowledge to test me with what you know. So please accept my faith in you and be like I am by you. I want you and I accept you on faith. I accept you because I have faith in you. Okay, you accept me because you have faith in me. And don't let those so-called scholars and learned people who just don't want to see anybody in America recognized as an authority for Islam but themselves. Now, I'm not pointing at any ethnic group or race because all of them are like that. The focus is on human life. So don't let them get into your head and mess your mind up and tempt you with theater garments and whatever. Draw you into Aladdin and his lamp time. Don't let that happen. Alibaba and the 40 thieves. Aladdin and his lamp. That is what I see when I look at a lot of you all. The way you act and the way you dress. And the way you make over a little soft tree stick called the miswak, your sandals and your stage garments, I'm telling you, and it is not a regular theater, it is one that twists your head. So don't let them play with us like that. Our Lord who created us has made us very special, and we don't want to shame the high place that he has invited us to focus on human life, man in the universe, mind, human mind in the universe. So that is what we mean by man, mind, because man, if you look it up in the dictionary, it is plural. It means male and female, not just male. So when we say man and we say man in the focus that we have, this is religion. God's revelation. So we are talking about the plural body that is male and female. So man and the universe, that is what we are talking about, and how Allah made the universe for the mind of human beings to engage. And in turn, as we seek to know what the universe says to our human mind, we get something to put or add to our perception of the universe and the thing inside the universe. So this engagement is like the universe is alive too. The universe is communicating to our minds, and our minds is communicating to the concept that we see. And the concept is growing. The universe is changing this picture. It is just growing. It is becoming a living thing with so many beautiful natures and beautiful identities that we never saw before because of our intelligence discovering these things. So it is an interaction. And then we take that knowledge and apply it to our circumstances down here in the neighborhood. And that knowledge grows up the life of the neighborhood. It makes the community more beautiful, more intelligent, and more productive. So this is what we want, and this is what we are going to have. So this is where we are. And I am going to dwell. I am going to dwell on the human identity so much. For so long, you are going to think that the human identity is a kutbah. Thank you. Imam Idris, assalamu alaikum. This is paradise. The Imam wanted me to share something I brought from Charlatan, and it is related to something he said and have been saying to us over the years, that the greedy entertainment world and crooked commercial world are planning to eliminate the masses of the people that they have or think or they created to be unproductive, that have become a burden to bear. Because when eyes start opening up and want to get rid of you, so the Imam said down in Charlatan, that they are planning. He may not be here. They are planning if we don't get our life together to eliminate us. He said that on the 23rd of September, the very next week, a city councilman by the name of Larry Shirley said in the newspaper, because some youth has stuck up a Hollywood video shop that produced the monsters that they want to get rid of. He said that if these families or these mothers cannot take care of their children and raise them right, we should do them like we do animals. Save them, get rid of them, so that they can be unproductive. So now please, after we hear this, that we are hearing now, let's not just sit on it. When we go back to our cities, let's work this, because we should love our people, and we know they have been put down, and we should take this powerful information that God has blessed us with and start working the community to deny Satan the opportunity to disannihilate us. We have been through that. This is our rise now, and we want all of our people, Christians, Israelites, whatever they call themselves, we want all of them to enjoy this. As-salamu alaykum. Imam W. Dean Muhammad, he's a very special person, and the mayor of Charlatan and the council there, the government, they have a lot of respect for him because they know that he is not working for selfish ends, that he is working for a cause that includes all human beings. They know him, and they know he will stand up for what is right, and that he actually is doing campaign time for the mayor accepted to be interviewed by a newspaper reporter and said of the one in government power, seat of government, that you can't depend on them, how are the slaves going to depend on Pharaoh? But he pointed to what was really happening in that city and how the majority of the non-Jews are not owning anything and are not doing much of anything, and how a few Jews are owning a lot. He pointed to it, and he really didn't say the government is the blame. He said the fault is that you all won't take it into your own hands to change your condition, or as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, to do for self. Don't depend on others, but do for self. The mayor obviously still supporting him. The invitation wanted to use, in fact, we thought he had what he could use against the mayor. He got that together from our brother to turn the masses of the people against the mayor. But the mayor, I believe, is still supporting Brother Idris, to my knowledge. I know he is still supporting him. And he supports my visit there. I have been going there for several years, attending their cultural events, and the mayor's office takes care of my travel and my lodging, hotel and travel. I don't have to pay anything, so it is wonderful. They appreciate him standing up as he does, and I thought that the way he presented the picture of our people was powerful. He showed them as slaves of Pharaoh, and they are waiting on Pharaoh to better their condition. One other comment that I'm going to be finished for today, inshallah. We were told in the Nation of Islam under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's leadership that Mr. Farad said that he has 17 million keys. And the same Mr. Farad said that our population at that time was 17 million people. Now, you know, the record doesn't show that. It shows much less, 9 or 10 or 11 million at the most back then. But let's look at his language that he gave us. He said, we are numbering 17 million in the United States. Then he says he has 17 million keys. I heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say with his own mouth that he intends to get every one of you. Isn't that what he used to say? You heard him, many of you that I'm looking at. You were back there, and you sat in the temple in the seat just like I did. I sat in the audience until I started being a minister, and I sat up on the rostrum. But many times, even after I became a minister, I sat in the audience with you because I was not the main minister. It was somebody else, Sheikh Shabazz, or later Brother Yusuf Shah. So I was in the audience like you and with you. And we heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say, we are going to get every one of them. Now, that's my belief, that if we have something good, it is for all people. But should we wait for them to become Muslim? We are supposed to be helping them. We don't have to wait for them to become Muslim. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad built bakeries under his leadership. We did it. He's a figure that we have to recognize who started everything, bakeries, restaurants, clothing stores, printing press for the paper, and all of those things. Thousands of acres of farmland and trucks to bring in good, et cetera, bring in watermelons, a big, big picture. So he opened up jobs for non-Muslims, didn't he? And non-Muslims were working, not just Muslims. He provided jobs for them. We should do the same thing now. But we should be more serious about building the life of a community and the life of a people who need their community life built up. We should be more about that than we are about looking at business and dollars coming in from businesses. And if we do that, if we are motivated by a desire to see community life and neighborhood life improved and made better, and the quality of our families made better, if we are serious about that, that is the opening for business, because we strive and grow in money and will be coming in. Don't worry about that. That's second to the most important. Do the most important. Have the spirit of the most important, that which comes second, it will be so much until we will be shocked. We will be amazed and say, wow, yes. So let us get back to that mind that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his teacher wanted us to be in, that we are a hope. We want to be a hope for our people and an answer to their prayers, better conditions for all African Americans coming as a result of our mission in these United States. Better conditions for all African Americans, and we should not turn down anybody. Look at the human content, as Dr. King said. Look at the human content, and if the human content is there, we have to give them all we got. That's right. So we are going to have some Caucasians, non-African Americans, some whites. We will have different people, some Spanish. We have them already. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had them, but their numbers will grow when they learn that we are working really for the human shrine, to establish the human shrine, the sacredness of the human life. When they know that we are going that with a vision for community betterment, community progress, believe me, they are going to be more than just us coming. But don't think that you have to have them. And don't be afraid of their presence. Some of us, we only have the courage to give our enthusiasm and our support if it is all black. If we think we are going to have some members of other ethnic groups, there we lose spirit. I said some of us, not all of us. But there are some of us like that. Don't feel that. There is nobody that can come in here. E.T. can't come in here like that and make us feel small. Nobody can come in here and make us feel small. I don't care who they were or who they are or where they are from. They cannot come in this place and make us feel small. So don't be ashamed to work along beside them. Don't you be ashamed to use broken English in their presence. If that's all you have to use something. They said Moses' tongue was tied, but God still chose him, and he still did a marvelous work. Be like Moses, asked God to untie that knot in your tongue. Don't be satisfied with it. Moses asked God to unite that knot, so you do the same. Whatever you have that you think is holding you back or take from your worth as a person, ask Allah to help you with it, but don't you stop your work. You come right on in there. Come on in there and get in the work field with us. Get in there and get your tools or whatever you can do, pick it up. And if you study in your speech, well, we will say, brother, don't worry about explaining it. You are doing good work. I'm serious. That is what we have to do. We cannot hold back, be ashamed of nothing. Isn't that what Allah says for the special group, special community that should be born out of the broad Islamic community? Let there come out of you a community that means out of the general community, a model community that will be a witness to God, that God has revealed the Quran, has chosen the model human being, Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, and has gathered the people together upon their own human work, a model community, and it says, and do not fear the criticism of the criticizer. So you may say, I don't know that Arabic. I hope you don't think that was Arabic I was teaching you. Oh, yes. But you could have that. You couldn't have that if you didn't know the Arabic. Look, I couldn't have the Arabic if I hadn't been prepared to have the mind and the heart and the spirit that I have. Look at this reality. I hate to point to anybody, but we have members of this community who have gone overseas. We had a brother who became a Hafiz over in Saudi Arabia, Medina. I think, what are they producing? They have the Arabic. You need the spirit. You have to have the spirit, not for your own profession. That's secondary. You need the spirit for the cause. And Allah will bless you. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the prayers and the thanks is for God. We thank him for the gifts and the blessings of model human person Muhammad, the honorable and noble servant and messenger of God, and what follows of that salute or that traditional salutation to the last prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, the seal of the prophet mentioned in the Bible as it is given in the Quran. Yesterday we were focused on the original life as planned by the Creator himself, Allah God, who made everything that he is still making everything. So this is true. If you have the insight to understand it, all that man is doing is only as an instrument of God. And just like a laborer will occasionally clean up his instrument, tools, then again, God will do the same for the human family. So we are his instruments, God says. Come willingly or resisting, it matters not with God. So if you resist, he knows how to make the register contribute to his plan. If you agree, then he rewards you generously. And he does away with his servant anytime he pleases. And you cannot die until he, God, your creator, permits it. So we think we have life and death in our hands. Never. We could not decide how we are going to come here and how we are going to be born. And we cannot decide the time or of our death. Only the creator decides that. So we are told in the scripture that Allah, our Lord, creator, has the heavens and the earth, all the universe in his one hand and the human existence in the other hand. And by hand, it means controls. That is what it means in English also. There was a phrase we say, will you handle that? It means, will you control that? Will you take that responsibility? So that is what it means. With there is no image of God. The Bible says, make no picture of God in the heavens and the earth. That is what the Bible, the Old Testament, said. And you know they changed from that because that's what the Old Testament says. In Islam, it says, La tudrakul afsira. Testament says, God says, no sight can capture him. No sight can reach him like a photograph of him or something. No, not your sight. No instrument, nothing. La tudrakul afsira. But his vision captures everything. Everything is captured by his vision. But no vision can catch him. This is Quran. Prophet Muhammad did not permit any image or drawing to be brought into the Kaaba or any masjid where you pray or make salat. That is why you won't find any pictures of anybody in the masjid now. We are conforming to what has been traditional for 14 centuries or more. No pictures. Why? Because man went through a stage in the history of his progress. And went through a stage in the history of his progress and development for community and cultural life that was called it the Romance era, where he fell in love with knowledge. He fell in love with his values as a thinker and as a creator, a producer of fine works. It has been going on even before the age we call the Romance Age. But when the Romance Age came, then the artists were drawing a lot of pictures of human beings or one professional or another, or in one cultural field or another, those that they love because they are great contributions from their intelligence to the society they made God of some of them. The picture of them as God, as deity. And I said it started long before the Romance Age, but it was during that time it was really being booming. Prophet Muhammad, when he came, he addressed the picture of the ancient and the medieval people at that time and forbid that Muslims have any image of man, human or animals in the worship service. In fact, pictures of plants were permitted in art, but even animals were permitted for sacrificing, research, etc. But it was not to come into the culture. The practice had prevailed until now, and I'm sure it will prevail in the future and for all times to come for Muslims on this planet Earth, because it has been established so clearly and so strongly by the Prophet, even your home. We don't want to take it too far and say you can't have pictures of your relatives, your baby, and family in your home, but where you pray. You should have a room for Salat, and in that room you should not have any pictures or images that can be seen by the one who is making Salat. We are in the month of Ramadan, the month that is called the blessed month. Every Ramadan I enjoy more than at any other time, the company of the believers. And I also experience blessings coming to me more than any other time. And I am not talking about the gift I received yesterday, $150, from my dear friend and sister who is like a close relative to me from Detroit. She walked up and greeted me, and she had money. I used to it, and I said, I'm doing well. I'm doing real well in the month of Ramadan. I was letting her know that I know you don't like to see me with a dry, parched mouth and can't eat and drink like I used to, but I'm okay now and I'm in good shape. But she said, we want you to have this. This is not just from me. It is also from my son. Beautiful people, Muslims. I mean, you all, I'm talking to all of you. You are a beautiful, wonderful people. He loved them like no other loved them. Good Christians, when you are around them, they have the same nature, the same spirit, and you feel this connection, this relationship of a heart to heart, the believer's heart. You feel it with them too. When people are right in their faith, they believe there is a superior over them that they cannot bribe, but love them. And they know he loves them like no other loved them, with divine love. That's God's love. When you are with them, you forget that they are not Muslim. You will be talking with them and socializing with them, and you forget that they are not Muslim. That shows you that when we are in our innocence and in our purity that God created in the beginning, there is no identity but one, and that is the person of faith to the person of faith. I've experienced that with Jews and Christians. I've experienced that even with some people who are not even named in the book, in the holy book. That spiritual bonding is the best, not money, not sexual, it's not ego. Allah made us to be of one spirit. That is what it means. When we say he created the man and then he gave man of his own spirit, God gave the man of his own spirit. And when we have that spirit of our first father called Adam that God gave, we know he did not have any children before he got that spirit. In fact, he was not even Adam until he got that spirit. He was in the process of becoming a complete creature. When we are in the form and the spirit that Allah wants in us, his angels are at our service. When God breathes the spirit into him, then he was the man that God selected. And I guess that is why God told the angels to wait until I have given him of my spirit, and then you make sajda to him. That is only to tell us that when we are in the form and spirit that Allah wants us, and his angels are at our service. Their existence is to support our life that God wants for us on this earth. One of the principal articles of faith or belief is that we believe in the angels. You cannot see what you don't have a mind to see. So your faith or belief is not complete until you believe in the angels. It does not mean that you accept that that's a principle in al-Islam or an article of faith in Islam. It means more than that. It means that you accept that it is real. God also has angels in his creation. And those angels work for his plan, his will. And they will also be working in your personal private life. I've experienced it myself. I'm talking from knowledge, not only from faith. In fact, there is not a day in my life I do not have one or more angels making their presence known to me in my life. When you are sensitive to these things, then you recognize that you cannot see what you do not have a mind to see. If you do not have a mind to see, it will be right in your presence, touching your eyeball, and you won't even know it. We give our presentation for the first day of this Ramadan session on yesterday, Juma Day, which is the most blessed day in the year. Shouldn't you want to know why the Prophet Muhammad said of Juma, Friday, it is the most blessed day of the year? Well, he told us why. Two, he said Adam was created on that day. And he said no person dies and is resurrected except on that day, the day Adam was created on. And in the calendar of Muslims, it is the sixth day. For some reason, I have always been a little superstitious and a little spooked up about Thursday. I don't know why. Prophet Muhammad was born on a Monday. Upon him be the prayers and the peace. I was kind of superstitious about Thursday since I was a child. I will share this with you. If I really was attracted to a young girl, and I'm talking about when I was younger than 14 years old, I think when I was 10 or 11 years of age, if I was really attracted to her and I had a chance to see her on a Thursday, I knew everything was going to be all right. And it's kind of stayed with me until now. If something happens on a Thursday to me, I just feel everything is going to be all right. And I know I have been thirsting all of my life, thirsting and trying to find the right drink. God takes over when you use his name. I said this in the Nation of Islam when I was a young minister. If you really take God as your interest really strongly and you start living and doing things, telling people things in the name of God. Your rule is finished. You are not in charge of your affairs anymore. You think you are, but God is overseeing it. And if you are wrong, he's going to give you the results of your bad deed, of your bad intention. And if you are right, he is going to reward you tremendously. Doesn't that sound reasonable? Nobody wants somebody going out doing things in their name without them being accountable to them. You do not want anybody doing something in your name and are not accountable to you if they don't have any conscience to recognize the obligation that they have to you when they take up that position. Then you start planning to do something about it, right? So God too, God will do the same. Getting back now to the concentration of our Ramadan session yesterday was on the original nature, on the original man, Adam. For this second part of the session, our concentration, the topic will be on the sanctuary as the main idea. Kaaba, the sanctuary is a whole area called Haram. And the sanctuary for Muslims, who can tell me what is the Kaaba? That is the sanctuary. Look up the word sanctuary, then understand the meaning of that precept, and you will see sanctuary falls under the term of that definition. The sanctuary now, that whole area that is called the Haram. It is not the area where you have to change your clothing. If you are on an airplane or traveling, you have to stop and put on ihram. You have to be ready, clean, and you have to put on your ihram. If you are not already in ihram, God says, let there be no confronting each other with bad spirits, whether it is anger or something else. No fighting each other, no arguing with each other in that area. You are supposed to restrain yourself and not be guilty of any of that kind of behavior. And there should be no killing of anything in that area. You cannot even hunt during the time of Hajj. You cannot hurt any animal, not in that area. So that is why you sleep and scorpions are in the desert of the Saudi Arabia. But you have to sleep at night and trust Allah that no scorpion will bite you when you are sleeping outside on the ground and exposed, right? So the feet are exposed, the hands, face, your whole body is exposed, really. And there is no problem for a scorpion or whatever to get into that ihram. And I have never heard anybody say our news has come to us while we were completing the rites of the Hajj that anyone was bitten by a scorpion or somebody was harmed by some animal or insect or something. I have never heard it. It might have happened, but I've never heard it. And I know my devotion was so complete to fulfill the rites of Hajj and pleasing my Lord that I have no thought of anything. And pleasing my Lord that I have no thought of anything harming me. I rested peacefully with no fear, no thought of anything harming me. And you know that's in the Bible, that the believers who really believe in God and devote themselves to service of God, that they would be able to lie down with the animals, even scorpions, and not be harmed. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go out and test it. You don't test what God says. Don't test God's word. God is the tester. Let him have that business all by himself. Don't you go testing his word. Or we will find you in the morgue. the sanctuary. I remember reading the Bible once, and in this passage it said that the people were told by their religious leaders to make their homes their sanctuary. And the meaning that I gathered or that I got from the passage, I can't recall all the language right now, but the meaning I got from the language gave me a picture that the world for them had become so troublesome, so difficult to live their life, the life of their choice, their religious life, that they had to practice their life of religion in secrecy. And the high priest or the leader could not serve them anymore because it was too dangerous. So they were told by their leaders to make their homes their sanctuary. The mosque is a sanctuary. Do you know the mosque is a sanctuary? Yes. And that is why the area, the most precious part of the Haram, is Masjid Haram. It is called Masjid, it is the Masjid. So in any Masjid, you should not have to come in there with a spirit to attack your brother and sister. Not with spirit, not with words, and certainly not with your hand. So you should come in there with a spirit just like you do in the hearts, a spirit to be in harmony with the spirit of Muslim that Allah wants for us as Muslims and brothers and sisters of one another. And do not allow your personal feelings or experiences that you had or encounters that you had with each other cause you to lose the spirit of peace and harmony with your brothers and sisters when you come to the Masjid. And I have seen some of us, we don't know, coming in there for trouble, walking in, waiting to hurt somebody. The sanctuary, it is a big sin to violate the sanctuary of the sanctuary, the sanctity, pardon me, the sanctity of the sanctuaries. It is a major sin. In fact, in Saudi Arabia, they will actually cut off your head or cut your head off. They will kill you for starting trouble in the sanctuary. And they have permission to do it right there in the sanctuary. That is the only time they can do it. When somebody is an aggressive, or have violated the sanctuary of the sanctity of the sanctuary with weapons or something, then you are justified to kill them right there in the sanctuary. Don't forget that we are continuing what we gave yesterday. Yesterday, we talked about the original life. Today, we are talking about the precinct, the place, the environment. Eden is believed to be Adam. An Arab tradition, culture, legend, an ancestor by the name of Adam. They, in Saudi Arabia, especially those scholars and knowledgeable ones of their history, and the history of al-Islam says that Adan was an ancestor, and the word Eden is Adan, the word that we know as the Garden of Eden, E-D-E-N, Eden, is Adan. I tend to give some respect to that, what they say. I know one thing. If you read the Bible gives you pictures of a land and connects it with nations, and it gives you a picture of the beginning of the Garden of Paradise on earth. And then in the history of the Arabs was an ancestor of theirs. And like I say, those who have researched, some or many of them believe that the word Eden in English in the Bible is Adam, their ancestors. So the black stone, the original man in his original nature. And I will tell you something else that I know. Scholars in Islam, especially Pakistani, I have some discussion or exchange words with them, and they say that the Kaaba is where Abraham and his son built the house directed by God. That is what we should remember, too. Abraham and his son built the house, but Abraham did not know how or where to start. And he called on God to show him where he should place the house. So it was with God's guidance, too. Not just Abraham and his son building it. No, it was God's guidance to Abraham and his son working with him that brought the house to be built and completed there. And even the place, the site for the house, Abraham asked God to show him where he should place it. And we know how the story goes, that a falling star hit the earth. We say falling star, but actually it means a fragment from the heavens, like a small meteorite, hit the earth. And when it hit the earth, he took that as God's answer to him, that this is where you should build a house. And the story goes like this. The object, when it cooled off, it was a black stone. So the Hethura, Ansorus, the stone that's black, the description is reversed, like in Spanish. In Spanish, you do not say beautiful baby. You say baby beautiful. And it is like that for most of those languages in that family, such as the Italian language. For the Arabs, it is the same. And for some other language, it is the same. So the description comes after, not before. The term Hijra Ansar means stone black. Well, we say in English, black stone. It sounds funny. If you say stone black, that means you can't speak English. We take it that you are a foreigner and you just got here. You cannot speak English. So the stone that the builder rejected became a corner. So the stone marked the spot. How are we to connect this? You think that it is just a stone falling. That's primitive stuff to believe that. No. The stone in the scripture, and it was in scripture before. Yes. The stone that the builders rejected became a corner. That is not in the Quran. That is in the language of the people of the book, long before the Quran. So the stone that the builders rejected became the corner. Isn't that something, brothers? We used to think it was us, right? More than the builders rejected us. The people that didn't even have any job rejected us. So the black stone is a symbol of original man in his original nature. No, the view here that we should be having before our eyes is the great works of the nation on this planet, Earth. They are the builders, those who establish nations, establish cities, industry, and all of the things that make a great people a government or society. They are the ones who reject what that black stone is a sign of. And yesterday we made it clear what we were talking about. The black stone is a sign. It is a symbol of original man in his original nature. His original nature is not to show off his light. They want to have him showing off their light. And God had to show them they did not know anything. Everything, pardon me. He said, if you know, tell me the name. Tell me your own names. Isn't that what he said in Quran? He said, if you know, tell me your own name. And they admitted that they had no knowledge except what they got from God. So when God addresses the man that he was making or forming in the earth, he said, Adam, tell them their name. And when Adam told them their names, they all submitted except Iblis, the proud eagle, the proud, defiant eagle, Abbas was takabira. Abbas was takabira. He resisted, refused to do what God asked him to do and was puffed up in pride. Isn't that the nature of some of us? You want it to be relevant. Then don't look where you cannot see and do not know what is happening. Look at yourself and each other where it is happening all the time. There is some amongst spirit, and pardon me, there is some arrogant spirit all the time defying the will of God. Don't down here. So when a picture is given of the beginning, it is to show you what is happening to you now. He said, Abbas was takabira, and become one of the disbelievers, one of the rejecters of faith. That was Iblis. So Iblis is really the first to reject faith. Now, this is before man was established in the earth, right? He resisted and refused to obey God and was puffed up in pride. He became begotten and became one of the rejecters of faith. So Satan is the beginning of rejecting faith in God. So this is before the whispers to the man in the garden. So he was disbeliever, and he wanted to make the man a disbeliever, our first father, Adam. He wanted to make him a disbeliever. Now stop thinking in the past. When a picture is given to you of the beginning, it is to show you what is happening to you now. In Judaism, there is no Satan or Jesus Christ. Iblis is the Satan, because after he did that, then he brought upon himself the curse, and he was given the name Shaitan or Satan in the Bible. Then he was given the name adversary, the one going against the plan of God. But understand, only in Christianity and Islam is he the adversary of God. In Judaism, he does not exist at all. No, in Judaism, there is no devil. There is no concept of Satan or Satan in Judaism. But hold on. I want to let you know that I have some dear brothers in faith who are Jews, dear brothers and sisters in faith that are Jews. And I just want to check that before we continue. Also in Judaism, there is no Jesus Christ. Do you hear that? There is not Jesus Christ in Judaism and no Satan. I'm not going to leave it like that. A small number of them who are high up in knowledge and science, they will not acknowledge any Jesus Christ because they believe that they are the only begotten sons of God. And not only that, they will not acknowledge Satan because they believe that they have the rights to punish and send to hell anybody who defines their order. So they do not look outside for Satan. Satan is the boss in hell, isn't he? That is what I thought that the Christian says. Well, we have better get away from that territory right away. We better leave that scheme quickly and get back to where we were. Do you know what the Bible says that Jesus said? Jesus speaking to the Jews who were giving him trouble. I behold your father fell from heaven like lightning. He abhorred not in truth. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. When he speaks a lie, it is his own lie. Nobody gave it to him. And the work of your father you will do. Now, I just gave you the Bible. They put that in most of Prophet Jesus, upon him be peace, the Christ Jesus. For the Christianity to survive, there has to be real major changes. I just gave to you, and it is still in the Bible like that. Don't you know that it is a big problem for the peace and harmony of religion on this planet Earth with them making such accusations? I say them. Allah did not put that in their Bible. With them making such an accusation like that against a whole people, it makes it very hard for us to come to a table of dialogue and work for peace, harmony, and cooperation amongst us, amongst the religions. Let me tell you something. One priest, this has been maybe a year ago, he recently got in the news. And if he got in the news, that tells us a lot. He was in the news for saying that if Christianity is to survive, there has to be some real major changes made. That is what a Christian priest said, and I agree. Never all of any people had. There are bad ones amongst them. That's life. There are always one bad ones amongst every people. Every people, there are bad ones amongst them. And it so happened that some of these bad people managed to get insight into matters that give them knowledge that they can use over the head of people to control them and become their masters. If God doesn't save the people, and those who are very notorious and pointed to in Scripture, like with the Jews, words of being the Satan themselves, they were able to do that. But it didn't just start with the Bible. Salakallahu Badeen. Surely Allah speaks the truth. We will start tomorrow with idol worship. Pagans were not uneducated. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Marad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.